On this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, it is an honor for me to come back to this parish. If you've been here before, of course, you remember I was stationed here for 6 years. If you are new to the parish, I see some new faces. I am Father Richard Boyle, who was ordained in 2009 and spent 6 years here. Currently, I'm in Michigan, just north of Detroit, at St. Joseph's Church and Academy. I've come here for the pilgrimage, and it's now complete, and I'm still alive. So I do thank all of you for your prayers. It was a great grace to have participated in and to see all of you during the pilgrimage to sacrifice and to accomplish such a great task. So again, I offer, as mentioned last night, a thank you. Father MacDonald is not necessarily here, but to all of those who help support, and all of you not even being able to participate in the pilgrimage directly, thank you for your prayers, as you will identify the pilgrims by a limp or a sunburnt, but nonetheless, God willing, a great joy. For today's Mass, the epistle is taken from Galatians chapter 5. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wrath, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalings, and such like. Of which I foretell you, as I have foretold you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. The Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, or for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you much more value than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? For the raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, nor do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. For your Father knows that you have need of all these things. Seek therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Mass, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, can be famous for many different reasons. Yet certainly, if you've read your Missal in preparation for today's Mass, and as you go through reading it during this Mass, You will find multiple times that quotation given at the end of today's gospel. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and everything will be given unto you. It is a common phrase today. It is one that we meet every year. It is something we want to pursue. But we might ask ourselves the question, why have we not yet put God first, pursued him with all of our strength, left everything aside, everything, and pursued God? There's a reason why there is a great contrariness between the world and God. That is what we see today, the constant conflict between what we want to pursue as Catholics in this modern world and what the world poses for us, with all the temptations, with all of the sins that are manifest to our eyes. There is that question, why? We hear it all the time. We know that God will give us everything, but yet, why do we not go and do our part? So we will try to find that answer again within today's Mass. And I encourage all of you, as been said before, to read the Mass in a meditative way. You prepare for Mass by reading your Missal. You read it during Mass. You hear some commentary on the Epistle and Gospel typically. You go home, and because you have all day Sunday to sanctify our Lord's day, no unnecessary physical work, no unnecessary buying or selling, you do have more time. So to possibly consider it one extra time during the evening or throughout the week, as often done in different meditative works, it will take the gospel and space it throughout the week. But go into the text and try to find what can be a nourishing factor for you. And so we will find a great thread of the why. We do not possibly seek first the kingdom of God. It is taken from Psalm 117 in the Gradual. The second part, it says, "It is good to trust in the Lord rather than to trust in princes." If we take it from the back end, we have at times trusted in those in the world, the princes, our employer, our politicians, in our own selves. We have trusted in them and we've been disappointed. Consider all of the financial crises which we find ourselves in. It is because of lying and cheating and stealing, lacking resolve, lacking humility. We're disappointed with the princes of this world, and we should be, yet knowing that that is a cross that we must bear. But we are told in today's Mass, which was written centuries ago by King David, trust in God and not in the princes. Now, we have trusted in princes before and been disappointed. So what ought to be the reaction that we can give? What is the conclusion of this? We should more especially trust in God because we know by faith we have been distracted by the world, yes, but we see in reality we have been disappointed. But going back to this faith, we know God has all. We know God will give us all. We must just present ourselves as that humble servant, ready to offer everything that we have. Going back to that prince, let us not be unrealistic. We know that we can't get everything from them. We know that there is a point of limitation in finances, in gifts, in talents, because we're dealing with men, human creatures. But God is unlimited. If we truly believe, which by your presence today you show you do, but you deeply understand the consequences of our faith, that we know the world is limited, we know God is unlimited, we've tried to seek consolation and satisfaction in the limitations, and have been disappointed. Today is the day in which we can try to ask for that special grace of trusting in divine providence, who has promised us everything. The kingdom of God is yours if you but put him first. So it goes back to that question of confidence. We do not truly have enough confidence and trust in Almighty God. And that is why we do not put everything aside and seek him wholeheartedly. We want a reserve. We want a security. A child who is going swimming with their family. He's 5 years old, and his father in the pool is asking him to jump in. He'll catch him. The child, if he lacks confidence in understanding that that father is only for the good of that child, will never have that child jump into a danger, that the father will make sure everything is fine. If the child lacks confidence, the child will not jump, will hesitate a long time, and will have to be pried and convinced. We are that child. We're not ready to jump into the arms of God. We don't know what it is to swim. We don't know all things to come. But that lacking confidence keeps us on the shore, keeps us in what we think is security. But on the shore, we are amidst temptations. We are amidst all of the different sins around us. But if we jump into the hands of God, we are perfectly safe. However, what does this mean? What do we have to do concretely in order to put God first? And what do we have to trust in to make this step? It comes forth from St. Paul, from the epistle of today's Mass, taken from the last sentence, "And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices of concupiscence." That's you. They who are Christ's, the ones who are the possession of Christ, that is, those in heaven, the chosen ones, have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. You pilgrims from the last 2 days know exactly what is meant. You've crucified yourself, your flesh. You've put away vices, sins, bad habits, and also desires, concupiscences that are out of the ordinary. You've put them behind you. You've received the graces of the pilgrimage, and now, although you are exhausted, there's a certain joy, peace, patience for a time, benignity, longanimity, continency, modesty, chastity, faith. That's the fruits that we speak of. Those are yours because of what you did. But let us not live in different cubicles. Let us live a life of this generosity, to die to our vices, to die to our concupiscences, so that we can be Christ's possession. We don't want to possess Christ. We want him to possess us. And that comes forth through a greater confidence that God will grant us all things because we know he has all. And that comes forth to dying to self. That is the petition of today's Mass. And go back to this 14th Sunday after Pentecost as often as you want. It is filled with sermon material, but I will have to come back and preach later on. Because again, we need to take different mouthfuls. But this one mouthful can save souls. And dear families, the more you cultivate sacrifice, the more Christ-like and possessing of Christ you will become. And now to put it in a certain one word, never choose anything for mere comfort. Never. If you don't choose things for comfort's sake, you are on the road to dying to concupiscence. Don't take off the collar because it's more comfortable. Don't go into certain clothing because it's more comfortable. Don't have another piece of pie because it satisfies you more. But do things because it is your duty. Do it because it is a social gathering. It is charitable. Do things because it is the will of God. And it's a perfect balance of life. And by not seeking comfort for comfort's sake, but being prudent and caring for yourself, you will be the possession of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.